Good evening and praise the Lord. I'm happy to be back with you after spending 2 years. It was in 22 that I was here last on a Wednesday like this. This time also I came for the Ireland Outreach Conference in Houston, and I'm on my way back to India, going to New York this week, and then from there back home. So that is what brought me here again this year. I was well introduced, so I don't need to say anything more about myself. We will straight go into the Word of God. My exercise is to show you some wonderful truths from God's Word about the necessity and importance of gaining spiritual strength. Now, this is one of my favorite subjects. I've been preaching on this for many, many years. And I do not want to cease preaching on this because I think this is a very, very important thing. Now, if I would ask you, what is our greatest need today? People would give different answers. Some people would say, we need more money. Someone would say, I need a job, or something like that. But I personally believe that as believers, our greatest need today is spiritual strength. Each one of us, all of us, we need to become stronger in our spiritual life. That will settle all our problems. If we are strong spiritually, we can handle any situation in life. We can face any problem in life. But if we are not strong spiritually, we will stumble and fall in our Christian life. The reason why many believers get discouraged, disappointed, dejected, why many backslide, fall into sin, many have no victory over temptation, the reason is very simple. They have no spiritual strength inside. They do not have the strength to stand against the wiles of the evil one. They do not have the strength to face temptations in life. They do not have the strength to handle adverse situations that come their way. So I believe our greatest need today, your need and my need, is to become stronger. Very strong in our spiritual life. The New Testament teaches a lot about that. You'll be surprised to see that there are so many references to spiritual strength in the New Testament. Of course, that is there in the Old Testament also, but more so in the New Testament. Now, as time permits, I want to take you through a couple of passages that talk about spiritual strength in the New Testament. Shall we start with Ephesians chapter 3? And just one verse, verse 16. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Now, this is a part of a prayer of Apostle Paul. We know that Apostle Paul prayed several prayers from the prison. In the prison epistles, we have many of his prayers. This is one of his prayers, and we are not going to look into the whole prayer. It's good if we could, because all the requests that Paul makes are very, very good and relevant. But we will stick to our theme, our point. So we will just read verse 16, Ephesians 3, 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Apostle Paul is praying for the believers in Ephesus. He's in prison, all of us know that. And he prays that the believers in Ephesus may be strengthened with might. Not just casual strength, strengthened with might. You see, strength and might both mean the same thing. Strength is might, might is strength. But then why is he using these two words? Just for emphasis. Not just casually strengthened, but strengthened very much. Strengthened with might. By his Spirit, where are we to be strengthened? in the inner man. That is what we are talking about. We are not talking about physical strength or spiritual strength. All of us are very much concerned about it. All of us want to be strong spiritually, so we eat good food, we go to the gym or we do exercise, we go to the doctor if something goes wrong, and we are all very conscious of our physical strength. And we do a lot of things to keep it up. But when it comes to the question of spiritual strength, I wonder if we are really concerned about it, if we are really careful about it. Now, if I would ask you, which is more important, physical strength or spiritual strength? Or in other words, using Paul's words, the outer man or the inner man? You know, we have that usage here in the inner man. Now, before I go back to my question, let me just explain what this inner man is. If you read 2 Corinthians 4:16, there you read about the outer man and the inner man. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We read of the outward man and the inward man, the outer man and the inner man. Who is this outer man? Outer man refers to that part of, that material part of man, the external part of man, that part which relates to things in this world. So the material part of man, which of course is our body. So that's the outer man, that which relates to the things of this earth, that which relates to the physical realm. That's the outer man, our body. Then Paul talks about the inner man. What is the inner man? Inner man is that part of man which relates to things spiritual. Inner man is that part of man which relates to the things of God. So that's very clear. That's not difficult to understand. We all have the outer man, and we relate to the things of this world, the material world, through the outer man, and we relate to the spiritual world or the things of God through the inner man. So Paul talks about both the outer man and the inner man. Now here in Ephesians 3, the prayer is that they may be strengthened in the inner man. Now let me come back to my question. If I would ask you, which is more important, the outer man or the inner man? I think there'll be no difference of opinion among believers. All of us with one accord say the inner man is more important. No difference of opinion on that. Inner man is more important than the outer man. Well, in theory, that is true, and the answer also is true. But is it really so? Do we really mean that answer? How do we know which is really important to us? If I ask you that question, all of you would say the inner man is more important. Very good, correct. But is it really so? How do we know which man is more important to us practically? Yeah, there is an easy way to know that. That to which you give more time, attention, and money, that is what is really important to you. Apply that. That to which you give more time, more attention, more energy, more money, that is what is really important to you and to me. Okay, let's compare these two things. The outer man, how much time do we spend on the outer man? All of us know. How much time do we stand before the mirror? How much time do we use to keep up or maintain our outer form or shape or health? All of us know that. How many times do we feed ourselves? At least 3 or 4 times a day. And how much money do you spend for the outer man? So much of money. To dress the outer man, to keep the outer man healthy, to polish the outer man, to paint the outer man. We spend a lot of money, all of us. So that's something really important. Then what do we attend to? Do we attend to the inner man or outer man more? We know that we attend to the outer man very much. Any problem with the outer man, we immediately go to the doctor. We consult someone. We take medicine. We take remedial measures because we think the outer man is very important. All right. Now come to the inner man. How much time do we give to the inner man every day? How much time do we give to the upkeep of the inner man every day? How much time do we give to personal worship, prayer, reading of God's word, fellowship with God's people, studying the truths of God's word? How much time do we give? Outer man, we feed 3 or 4 times a day, I said. What about the inner man? How much time do we take to feed the inner man? We know the answer. How much money do we give to the inner man? We are willing to spend any amount of money to take care of our body. But when it comes to the question of spending money for spiritual things, we are very, very careful. To buy a book, a spiritual book, you go to the book counter and he says $50. You say, oh, $50 for this book. Oh my, I don't want this. But what about the outer man things? Even if it is $100, whether it is a question of eating or drinking or buying something for the outer man, you have no problem. Whether it is 50 or 500 doesn't make any difference. But when it comes to the inner man, oh, $50, that's too much. We are willing to spend any amount of money for our outer man. But when it comes to the upkeep of the inner man, we are very, very hesitant. See, how much time do we give? How much attention do we give? How much money we are willing to spend for these two things? And that tells you what is it that really important to you. Each one has to make his own assessment. As far as I am concerned, is my outer man more important to me or my inner man more important to me? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. In theory, all of us say, inner man is more important. But in practice and reality, is that really important to us? I think it was Leonard Ravenhill. You must have heard that name. He wrote that book, Why Revival Tarries, a well-known book. I think it was he who said, if we were as earnest in our spiritual things as we are in our material things, we would have had a revival long ago. Did you get that? If we were as earnest in our spiritual matters as we are in our material things, we would have had a revival long ago. Okay, then he told about the other side of it. He said, if we are only as earnest in our physical life as we are in our spiritual life, we would have been begging for bread by now. I hope you got it. If we are only as earnest in our outer life as we are in our spiritual life, we would have been begging for bread by now. What he meant to say is, we are very, very earnest in the pursuit of money, comfort, material things, and we do not have that earnestness when it comes to our spiritual growth and spiritual strength. All right, let's come back to this passage. Paul is praying for the believers in Ephesus. Now, there are many requests to follow, but this is, this is the first request. You know, this is the first request in his prayer, that you may be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now, let me say a few more things about Paul's prayers. There are several prayers of Apostle Paul in the prison epistles. Now, we know which are the prison epistles. And in 3 of them, you can see 4 prayers of Apostle Paul. In Ephesians, there is a prayer. There are 2 prayers. In Philippians, there is a prayer. In Colossians, there is a prayer. There is an easy way to remember the reference of Paul's prayers. They are all found in chapters 1. Ephesians 1, there is a prayer. Philippians 1, there is a prayer. Colossians 1, there is a prayer. Plus Ephesians 3, the one that we read. Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, plus Ephesians 3. These are the 4 major prison epistles prayers of Paul. So while Paul was in prison, he spent time, of course he wrote epistles, we know that, but he spent most of his time praying for these believers. He took time to pray for believers whom we had seen and whom we had not seen. The believers in Colossae had never seen them. And he prays for them. When you read that epistle, you see that. And he prays for Ephesians, he prays for Philippians, he prays for Colossians. What is he praying for? You take time to read those prayers. They're very, very short prayers. It takes only less than 5 minutes to, or let's say 3 minutes only to read one prayer. You go home and read all these four prayers. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, Colossians 1. You will see a common thing in all these four prayers. You know what that is? All his prayers are focused on the spiritual strength and spiritual growth of believers. All his prayers. That's a very important observation that we have to make. We are all people who pray, right? All of us must have prayed 5 or 10 times today, starting from the morning. All of us pray every day, maybe every hour or every now and then we all pray. But what do we pray for? Look at the prayers of Apostle Paul. All his prayers are for spiritual strength, spiritual enlightenment, spiritual growth, that they may discern the will of God, that they may be drawn closer to God, that they may be enlightened in their inner man, that they may increase in their life. You know, these are the things that Paul prayed for. Even in this prayer, Ephesians 3 prayer that we are talking about, he prays that the believers may comprehend the breadth and length and depth of God's love. They may be filled with all the fullness of God. In the Philippians prayer, he prays that they may increase in their love. And he prays that they may be able to stand without offense in the day of Christ as they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. In Colossians 1, again, he prays for spiritual strength. He prays that they may be able to discern the will of God for their life, that they may thank God for joyfulness. In Ephesians 1 prayer, he prays for spiritual enlightenment, spiritual light. You put all these four prayers together, they all mean the same thing. The wordings are different. The phrases are different. But they all focus on one point. All his prayers were focused on one point. What is that? Spiritual strength, spiritual growth, spiritual enlightenment. That is what Paul considered as very important. Now, I don't mean to say that Paul never prayed for anything else. I don't mean to say that. Paul may have prayed. But in the prayers recorded and given to us, all the prayers revolve around just one theme. That these believers, whether they are believers in Ephesus or Philippians or Colossians, all of them might grow spiritually. They may increase in their love, in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that they may become more spiritual, that they may be able to discern God's will for their life. What is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about becoming strong spiritually. Paul is talking about their growing spiritually. And all these prayers are for the inner man. What about our prayers? We all pray. We are all men and women of prayer, right? Our prayers are for the inner man or the outer man. If I'm not wrong, 90 or 95% of our prayers are for the outer man. Whether we pray as an assembly or as a family or personal prayer, what do we pray for every day? Pray for health. Pray for protection on the way, pray for blessing in travels, pray for job, pray for marriage, pray for healing, pray for house, pray for money. That's what we pray for, right? Every day, even today. Nothing wrong in praying for those things. But what is wrong with us is that is all that we pray for. Compare our prayers with Apostle Paul's prayers. All his prayers were focused on the strength of the inner man. What about us? Our prayers revolve around our body, our money, marriage, child, travel, house, rent, visa. That's what we pray for. How many of us sincerely pray earnestly for more spiritual strength? How many of us earnestly pray that we may have victory over sin? How many of us honestly pray that we may be delivered from the love of money? How many of us pray that we may be delivered from worldliness? How many of us pray that we may have victory over jealousy and anger? How many of us pray that we may increase in love, that we may grow in Christ likeness in our day-to-day life? My dear brothers and sisters, these are the things that are really important in our life. The other things, I don't say we should not pray, I also pray for those things, but they are not really important in life. What is important is our spiritual life, our inner man. That's what's really important. Why did Paul pray for the inner man? Because he knew that the needs of the inner man was more important than the needs of the outer man. We can pray for the outer man. You can pray for anything. There's nothing wrong. But our problem is we pray only for the outer man. How many of us, honestly, how many of us pray for our spiritual growth, victory in our Christian life, for a spiritual life to grow into Christ likeness? You know the answer. Let me tell you one more thing. There are two prayers of Jesus in the Gospels, major prayers. One is the one that is found in Matthew 6. That's actually not a prayer of Jesus. That's a prayer that he taught the disciples. It's better to call it disciples' prayer, though people refer to it as the Lord's prayer always, because the Lord taught it. Matthew 6 prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That is actually the disciples' prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer, but because the Lord taught it, we refer to it as the Lord's prayer. Okay, call it by whatever name you want. Look at that prayer. "Pray in this manner." That means the Lord wants us to pray according to that model. All right, what is the model? There are 6 requests in that prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven," there are 6 requests in that prayer. If you take each request, out of the 6 requests, 5 of them have to do with our inner man, and only 1 has to do with our outer man. Have you noticed that? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That means your name is unique. We worship you. We lift you up. There's none like you. Number 1. Number 2, "Thy kingdom come." Number 3, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." All spiritual. Number 4, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's the only one that has to do with our material need. Daily bread does not just mean bread. It means it includes all our spiritual needs. So that's the 4th one. Then 5th and 6th, that's about interpersonal relationships. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Then, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." 6 things, pray for these 6 things. All right. How many of them have to do with our inner life? How many of them have to do with our outer life? We take our prayers. Suppose we pray for 6 things. How many of them have to do with our outer life? How many have to do with our inner life? Is it not true? But when Jesus said, "You pray for these things," he taught us to pray for our spiritual life primarily. Nothing wrong, because the 4th one says, you can ask for your daily bread, no problem. There's nothing wrong in praying for those things. You can depend on God even for the smallest thing, but that should not be the focus in your prayer. Your focus should be living a life pleasing to God, engaged in the things of the kingdom of God, doing the will of God, maintaining good interpersonal relationships, being delivered from the snares of the evil one. That is what Jesus taught us to pray. Very often our prayer is, "Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Amen." That's our prayer. That's not the prayer Jesus taught. There's one more prayer of Jesus. That's actually Jesus' prayer. John 17. I don't have to read all that. All of you are familiar with these prayers that I'm referring to. John 17, known as the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. It's a long prayer, so to say. Jesus is praying to the Father on our behalf. He prays for the disciples, and also by extension, he prays for all those who would believe in him. That includes all of us. What did he pray for us? When we ask somebody, brother, please pray for me, what do we ask them to pray? Suppose even I or somebody says, brother, please pray for us. What do we ask them to pray? My child is sick, please pray. He doesn't have a job, please pray. His visa is in problem, please pray that may be processed on time. Somebody is traveling to India, please pray. Or someone is going somewhere, please pray. That is what we would like them to pray for us, right? How many of us ask our friends or others to pray for my spiritual growth? How many of us say that I'm becoming more and more worldly these days? I really need your prayer support that I may be delivered from that. How many of us do that? We don't even want to tell others that that's happening in our life. We all want to be very spiritual people outside. We want to pretend that we are all right. There's nothing wrong in our spiritual life. But you read John 17 and show me one request in that long prayer that has to do with our material needs. Is Jesus not concerned about our material needs? Is he not concerned about our health? Is he not concerned about our poverty? Is he not concerned about our job, our house? Yes, he is. But then why didn't he pray for that to the Father? You know what he prayed for? You can read it and find yourself. He prayed for unity. We pray that we may be delivered from the hands of the evil one. We pray that we may be one as they are one. He prayed that our joy might increase. All the requests that he made to the Father have to do with our inner man and spiritual life. What does that show? That shows to the Lord Jesus, our spiritual life, inner life was far more important than material comfort, our money or marriage or house or visa, any such thing. I'm not saying they are not important, but spiritual is far more important than the material. I said all this to emphasize one thing. Dear brothers and sisters, what we need today is not more money. That's not our greatest need. What we need today is not more health. It's good if we have health. What we need today is not a better house or a better car. That's not our greatest need. They may be needs, but not greatest need. Our greatest need is to become strong inside, men and women of spiritual caliber, so that we can face the world with all its allurements. We can face the world with all its attractions. We can stand against the devil and take our Christian stand in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. What do we need for that? Not just knowledge. Knowledge is good, no doubt. But we need strength in the inner man. If you have strength in the inner man, as I said earlier, things will be very, very different in our life. I love to tell the stories of so many people I may have told here also sometime back. You know, many men and women in the history who had spiritual strength, demonstrated their strength in the midst of trials and difficulties in life. One of the names that I often quote is the name of Fanny Crosby. You're familiar with that name? It's in our songbook. A little girl born normally with both eyes because of the wrong treatment of a doctor who treated her. Because of the doctor's mistake, she became blind on both eyes. What a tragedy, what a sad thing to happen. A little girl born with both eyes, made blind by a doctor. She grew up and she trusted the Lord. And the Lord gave her a tremendous memory power. And God gave her the grace to write hymns. She has written more than 7,000 songs. Her songs are very much in our books. Many of the songs that we sing every day, every Sunday, are written by her, though we may not know that. She had so much spiritual strength inside that she could write those songs and sing those songs meaningfully, in spite of the tragedy that struck her. Take, for example, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. In that chorus she sings, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Who can do that? She should have been singing, cursing my doctor all the day long. That is what she should have been singing. But she said, praising my Savior all the day long. How can she do that? To God be the glory. All of us know that song. Sung every Sunday. That's her song. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. That's her song. All the way my Savior leads me. That's her song. Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's her song. Pass me not a gentle Savior. That's her song. How could she write such meaningful songs? What? How do you explain that? Only one explanation: spiritual strength. She lived a life of joy, praising God all the day long because she had inner strength. You've heard of Matthew Henry, man who wrote commentary for the whole Bible, a man of God. He once fell into the hands of thieves, robbers, when he was going somewhere, and they took away everything he had. And he thanked God for three things. He said, Lord, thank you that they spared my life, though they took away everything I had. Then he said, Lord, though they took away everything I had very little with me today. Thank you, Lord. And thirdly, he said, Lord, I thank you that it was they who robbed me, not I who robbed them. Thank you, Lord. How could he say that? How could he say that? Only one explanation: spiritual strength. He had inner guts, inner courage. So he could say that. The other day I was reading about a man in China. His name is Wang Minbo, a pastor whom Mao Zedong put in prison. Imprisonment for 23 long years in the communist prison. It is written about him that Wang Minbo, every morning he got up with a song. Every morning he sings the same song. That is, all the way my Savior leads me. Probably the Chinese version of that, I suppose. Every morning he gets up and sings that song. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Every morning for 23 years without fail. The guards, the soldiers who were keeping him at the door, they all listened to his song every morning. I don't know the rest of the story. I would love to think that some of those soldiers would be in heaven because of the impact that his 23 years everyday song made on their life. How could he do that? He could do that only because of inner strength in his life. There are many more examples from history, from Christian history, world history, that we can quote about men and women like you and me, who had so much spiritual strength that they could stand anything in life. They were not supermen. You know, supermen are there only in cartoons and TV. There's no superman in real life. But they were not supermen and women. They were ordinary men and women like you and me. But they stood the test of time. They stood the test of trials because they had strength inside. Dear brothers and sisters, the reason why we are not able to face life, the reason why we fail in temptations, the reason why we get discouraged and distressed in life is that though we say we are God's children, we sing songs and pray every day, we read the Bible, but there's no strength inside. What a sad thing that is. Let me quickly take you to another passage where Paul talks about strength. There are many passages in the New Testament Today, I don't have time to take you to all those passages, but let me quickly take you to one or two as time permits. In chapter 1 of Colossians, that again, as you know, is a prayer of Apostle Paul. Chapter 1, Colossians. And verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul is praying for the believers in Colossae. What is he praying for? The same thing. What he prayed for the believers in Ephesus, he prays the same thing, but with an additional word in that prayer. Here, he uses three words. In Ephesians 3, he used only two words, strength and might. But look at the words he used here, strength, might, power. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. He prays that the believers in Colossae may be strengthened with might by his glorious power. For what? Unto all patience and long suffering. So what is the context of this strength? Why should they be strengthened? He says that they may exercise patience and long suffering. Patience and long suffering basically mean the same thing. But there's a small difference between the two. Patience is with reference to adverse circumstances in life. Long suffering is with reference to people who trouble you. In the midst of adversities, sickness, problem, financial difficulties, adversities, oppositions in life, you need to maintain patience. And towards people who trouble you, criticize you, write against you, speak ill of you, to them, you have to show long suffering. Both mean patience, but one is in the context of adversities in life, and the other is in the context of people who trouble us. Paul is praying that these believers may become strong so that they will manifest patience in the midst of adversities and show long suffering towards people who trouble them. You need a lot of strength to be patient, and you need a lot of strength to show long suffering, to forbear. You need a lot of strength to forgive people. The reason why we are not able to forgive those who harm us, you know what the reason is? Because we have no inner strength. That's the reason. You know, out in the world, people think that the power of strength is striking back. Someone strikes me, I strike him back. Oh, I'm a very powerful man. That's what the world thinks. But biblically, from God's point of view, you need more strength to keep quiet than to strike back. You don't need any strength to strike back. Someone calls me a fool and I call him double fool. Do I need any strength for that? I don't need any strength for that. You call me a fool, I will call you double fool. Anyone could do that. You don't need any strength for that. But you keep calling me a fool, I keep hearing it and I keep quiet. That takes a lot of strength. The reason why we cannot forgive people who trouble us is we have no inner strength. We are so weak that we get provoked quickly and we strike back. Think of Peter. At the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest Jesus, you know, Peter appeared to be very brave, right? He ran, he jumped out of the sword as if he was a very brave man. He was a coward. Look at Jesus. He held his peace. Who had more strength, Jesus or Peter? When Jesus was interrogated, Paul's accusations were leveled against him. He kept quiet. That is spiritual strength. You need more strength to keep quiet than to strike back. The reason why we write back, the reason why we strike back, the reason why we, you know, retort to people, take revenge, the reason is, we have no inner strength. That's why we do those things. If we have inner strength, we would keep quiet. Rather, we would bless those who hurt us. So here Paul prays that they may be strengthened with all might by his glorious power, so that they will exercise patience in the midst of adversities, and they might exercise long-suffering in the midst of people who trouble us. Come to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. That's a verse that all of us know. Philippians 4:13, Paul writing to the believers in Philippi, he talks about strength. Well, this again, we know it's not talking about physical strength. He's talking about spiritual strength. 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here again, strength, okay? Ephesians 3, strength. Colossians 1, strength. Here, strength. I can do all things through Christ who pumps in strength into me. That should be the right translation. I can do all things through Christ who pumps in strength into me. What is that strength? What strength is that? That is spiritual strength. Now, we always quote these words in all situations. That's all right. But in its context, it has a special meaning. You may quote these words in any situation. That's fine. Nothing wrong in that. But in its context, what does that mean? I can do all things. You know, what is he talking about? You read the verses in that context, the verse above, verse 11 and 12. He's talking about, you know, a situation where he has nothing and situations where he's full. Sometimes he's full, sometimes he's hungry. He talks about that. He says, I know how to abound, I know and how to be full, and I know how to be hungry. Then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So in its context, what does that mean? That means whether I have money or no money, the strength of Christ, you know, helps me to be content, to be satisfied, and to stand strong. Money or no money, praise the Lord. That's what he's saying. Whether I am full or I am empty, whether I'm starving or I'm abounding, I have learned to be content. Verse 11 says, I've learned to be satisfied. So here, the strength referred to is not just a general strength. It is a strength that helps you to be content and satisfied in the midst of poverty as well as abundance. If we have this spiritual strength, we will be content and satisfied when we have nothing. If we have the spiritual strength, we will be praising God when we have everything. It doesn't make any difference. Whether we have everything or whether we have nothing, we can still praise God. So Paul says, I'm receiving strength from God, from Christ, so that I can be satisfied in all situations of life. Now, coming back to Ephesians, you know, there are other passages where he talks about strength again, Ephesians chapter 6. We don't have time to explain that much, but just let me just show you that verse. You know, in Ephesians 6, he talks about verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. So what are the context of strength there? Standing against the wiles of the devil. Dear brothers and sisters, do you know that Satan is the most intelligent being God ever created? He is more intelligent than all of us put together. The first reference to him in Genesis is that he was very, very cunning, very intelligent. You cannot outwit him. You cannot stand against him in your own strength. He has his schemes and devices to attack us. But if we have to stand against him, what do we need? We need to be strong in the grace, in the power of his might. That is what verse 10 says. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we have divine strength, inner strength, we can stand against Satan. If we don't have that, The reason why we very often fail is we do not have any spiritual strength. So when Satan comes with the temptation, we just fall. We don't know how to stand against it because we have no power. In Timothy, Apostle Paul, you remember, tells Timothy to be strong in the context of spiritual service. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. That's in the context of spiritual service. And also in Timothy, Paul says, everyone forsook me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In my court case, no one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me to accomplish the mission that God had given. You need a lot of spiritual strength to accomplish the mission that God has given. Let me close my words here. Spiritual strength is needed in all contexts of life. To handle the devices of Satan, to be satisfied in the midst of poverty and riches, and to serve the Lord effectively, we need the strength of God. So Paul prays, no wonder Paul prayed for these believers, Lord, strengthen them. That's a prayer that we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for each other. Lord, make me strong. And in Ephesians 3, he said, by his spirit. We don't become strong by the effort of our flesh. It is as we yield to the working of the spirit of God in our daily life that we become strong in our spiritual life. Isaiah 40, we read that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So two ways to increase strength. One is yield to the working of the Spirit of God, obey the Spirit of God in every sphere of your life. Number two, wait upon the Lord, and you will become strong in your spiritual life, and then you will be able to handle anything that comes your way. May the Lord bless these words to us and challenge us to seek with all our heart for spiritual strength. May we become men and women of spiritual strength so that we can stand against all the wiles of the evil one. May God bless these words to us.